Today we are visiting with Marie Dennis from the Pax Christi organization, Pax Christi International. And Marie, you're coming to Clinton to give a talk here on Monday, July 24th. Tell us a little bit about, I guess, the general topic. What are you going to be speaking about?
What I'm going to be speaking about is a topic that is not really well understood, which is, in general, nonviolence. I think that we are all, whether we live in Iowa or in Washington, D.C., or people who live in Europe and Africa and around the world, are tired of violence, whether it's violence in our street corners or violence in Syria or on and on. We believe that there is another way to deal with both conflict, which is a part of life, and with even serious threats of violence. And that is by a well-planned, strategic, well-thought-out, nonviolent approach. So what I'm going to talk about is what that looks like and why is nonviolence a bigger, deeper topic than my own personal way of living. Many of us think of ourselves as nonviolent people, but yet we don't pay enough attention, I think, to the kinds of structural violence and cultural violence that are surrounding us. So what I'm going to talk about is there another way we could go that would enable us to move beyond perpetual violence and war?
Marie, we talk about nonviolence. Does that alone have some, maybe even, I guess, connotations? People don't, you mentioned, maybe, what is nonviolence? Is that maybe a hard thing for people to grasp? Are there some different definitions or explanations there?
It is. It's a challenging concept. I think we either tend to think of it as a very personal kind of way of life. I'm not violent to anybody around me. We also think of violence as direct violence. I'm not hitting or shooting or creating havoc around me. Or we think about Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi in India, the sort of icons of nonviolence, whose work was in a very particular context, the civil rights movement in the United States, India's liberation struggle from the British colonial power. What we're trying to say is that there is a much, much broader understanding of nonviolence that could help us at a very practical level move to a new place. So, for example, there are many, many great stories of communities, local communities around the world, all the way to whole countries, that have managed to keep themselves out of war without engaging in violence of any kind. And it takes planning, it takes thinking ahead, but it also has to do with diplomacy, with meeting people's basic needs, with learning the early warning signs of when an upset or conflict is going to become violent, and responding. It has to do with trauma healing. We know that, for example, when people have been traumatized, that they often continue to generate cycles of violence. We look at countries like Central American countries now that spent decades in war and are now dealing with a huge amount of street violence. We can do better than that. So what we are saying is we have not invested enough in nonviolence for us to even understand its potential. When 3 years ago the Yazidis were caught on the top of the mountain in Mosul in Iraq with an extremely dangerous and serious level of violence that they were facing, all that we could imagine doing was dropping bombs to try to solve that problem, when in reality there were probably many other things that we could have done that would have more appropriately responded to their needs. But the nonviolence toolbox is pretty empty because we have invested fortunes preparing for war. So it isn't an easy concept. It's complicated. But we believe that it is, that there is a very powerful instinct in all of us to prefer a nonviolent approach to solving our problems. So why don't we spend more time learning about it, and why don't we invest more financial and intellectual resources as well as creativity in shaping more nonviolent strategies to deal with the difficult world we live in?
Marie, do you find this a difficult thing to for people to accept when you make these presentations? What kind of reaction do you get? Obviously, you probably get supporters who would support your ideas, but do you can you convince those who maybe are on the other side, as you might say?
Well, what's interesting to me is that it is very often military leadership who understands very well the importance of what we're talking about, because they know the cost of going to war. They understand very well the long-range human consequences of war. We're also beginning to understand the environmental consequences of war, and on. So it, sometimes I think there is a sort of big circle of people who understand nonviolence and believe in nonviolence and support what we're trying to do. But we've been very pleasantly surprised with a number of people who one might think wouldn't be inclined to take this seriously and who are doing that. One thing that I think is important is that often the reason people don't take this seriously is because they equate nonviolence, active nonviolence, with passivity. If we can't use violence, then we can't do anything in response to really difficult violent situations. And that's, of course, not true at all. There are many ways that we can respond. We're talking about robust, well-planned, scaled-up kinds of responses, not non-response to anything from the dangerous situations that extremist groups are creating in places like Syria and Iraq and across Africa, or whether it's to our own, that the difficult situations that we're facing in some of our own cities and rural communities, where getting at the roots of violence would be a more effective response than trying to stop violence with more violence. So can we convince other people? I certainly hope so, and I'm very encouraged to see the level of interest, because I think people are just really tired of violence. We aren't satisfied with the direction in which our communities and our world is going, so maybe there's another way to do this. I think people are open to that possibility.
Marie, quickly, your visit here in Clinton is sponsored by the Sisters of St. Francis. Can you give us a little background? We mentioned the Pax Christi organization. That's who you're with. Can you give us a description of what that is for people who may not be familiar with your organization?
Of course.
Who might be interested.
Sure. Pax Christi International is an old international Catholic peace movement. It was started at the end of the Second World War to promote reconciliation between the French and the Germans. It grew very quickly in post-World War II Europe, now is present around the world. We have 120 member organizations on every continent, well, on five continents, and each of whom is working for peace and reconciliation in their own context in a way that makes sense in that context. So the Sisters of St. Francis, for example, in your community, have had a long-term commitment to nonviolence, have worked for peace as a community, often in collaboration with Pax Christi. We're an independent Catholic movement. We're not officially a part of the Catholic Church, but the last several years we've been working very closely with the Vatican to try to encourage the Catholic Church institutionally to teach nonviolence so that, you know, what if a billion Catholics around the world actually understood what you do when you see a violent situation unfolding? How do you intervene in a way that is truly effective and positive? So that's the work of Pax 60 all over the world.
Hey, we're visiting with Marie Dennis. I guess you're titled the co-president of Pax Christi International, so you're coming to Clinton Monday the 24th at 7 o'clock at Rochelle's Tuscany Special Events Center. So we hope a big crowd comes out to visit with you. Anything else you'd like to mention for us today?
Just thank you for talking with me today, and I'm looking forward to being in Clinton.